My gracious Lord God, we thank you that you have made us your beloved children. Send your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and minds that we may hear your word, but also experience your presence. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want you to be seated. So this evening I'm actually going to start with the Luke text. And we're just going to walk through, and we're going to start in verse 15. And I want you to understand a few things here. First of all, about children, especially infants in those days. Now, among the Jewish people, they probably had some of the highest view of children, and they had the highest place in ancient culture. But just keep in mind that it really wasn't that high. If you think today about how you look at your children or grandchildren, or, you know, if you don't happen to have those, what that is, you know, just how precious children are. And I'm not saying for everybody, but I am saying typically in our own hearts. You know, I think of what people sacrifice, what people do, all those things. That wasn't necessarily the way things were in that day. And we see, you know, when you hear what the disciples say, they're rebuking the parents for bringing the children to Jesus. I don't want you to judge them too harshly. You can judge them a little, but not too harshly, because what they were saying was very much reflective of the attitude of the day. It was the culture of the day. And again, we can say, well, that's just a terrible culture. Well, they'd probably look at a few things in our culture today and probably say the same thing. In fact, probably a few more things. But I want you to see, people were also bringing babies to Jesus. Some translations say children, but the word really is very, very young children. And the NIV does a good job in just choosing the word babies here, because that's really what was happening. And it was not uncommon for people to bring a child to a rabbi. But Jesus was a rabbi. I mean, he was a teacher, and he had disciples, which that's kind of how that worked. And it wasn't unusual to get a blessing from a rabbi over your children, but it took time. There were priorities in all of this. But here we have, they were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked those parents. But let's look at that next verse. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me." And I want you to notice how this plays out. Here, we got to keep in mind, you know, we have the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God in flesh, God incarnate, you know, in the flesh. He's not just a good rabbi or a teacher. He is Almighty God in the flesh, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? And so here is the Son of God, the one through whom all things were made, the one who has come to reconcile all things through his blood on the cross. He speaks to the children. He's looking at them, and he says, "Let them come. Let them come." It's amazing to me how clear and directly Jesus just breaks through culture. You know, the attitude in the culture of the day was children have their place and they should be over there. Is that anything new, really? They should be over there. But you know what? Jesus' words and his heart just cuts straight through it all. heart. And he says, they belong here with me, God incarnate in the flesh. Bring them right here. I am going to place my hands on him, on them. And he says, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I want to invite you to dig deeply into scripture. If you aren't already doing it, but even if you are, sometimes reading through, some of you, read scripture on a regular basis. But one of the things I find is so helpful when I'm going through scripture again is to have something else in mind as I'm reading it. And what I mean by that is I'll think of a phrase or a word or an idea or something about the nature of Jesus, and I'll read through, say, a gospel text again, trying to think, okay, what from this word or phrase, and let me just tell you where I'm going with this. Jesus always spoke truth and love to the underdog, to the weak, to the poor, to those who had no position in society. And so, read through again with that in mind. How many times is Jesus speaking to an outcast, a foreigner, somebody who has no position or power? The woman with the flow of blood, who is an outcast in that society. Think about it. And here's just a beautiful example of this. He's speaking not to the parents. Isn't that interesting? He's speaking to these little babies. How much do you think they're understanding? He's speaking, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. The beauty of this is he could be saying this about anybody. Let those people, these people come to me, and don't hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. It's a beautiful statement. Powerful statement. But then he adds a twist in here. For everybody, all the do you think the disciples were feeling the rebuke in this moment? Anytime you see the disciples rebuke anybody, you can pretty much count on Jesus coming back and rebuking them. Remember, Peter made the mistake of rebuking Jesus when Jesus said, well, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to die. And Peter says, no. And, okay, if you don't know this is a rebuke, you're not listening. Because Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, because what you want is not what God's will is. And so he's looking at these children, he's calling the children, and he's saying out loud, and the disciples are hearing it, okay, disciples, you rebuked, and you were trying to push these people over here because they, remember the disciples were always arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And in this case, they're saying, they're not part of this. They're not part of the power structure. So off you go. We have more important things to do. And Jesus is saying, whoa. Nope. Bring them. Because the kingdom of God, my kingdom, my power structure belongs to such as these. Imagine the disciples. Aha moment there. Maybe it wasn't an aha moment. Maybe it was just shock. Because the next line in verse 17 says, truly I tell you, whenever Jesus says truly, he's really hammering it home. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I want you to picture the pause with the disciples. disciples in that moment and everybody else who was listening. Because there would have been a lot of people there if there were all these people with these kids here as well. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And we're going to go back to that idea that the poor, the weak, the underprivileged, the ones without power, the ones without a voice for themselves. Jesus is saying, they all belong. They all belong. It's nothing that the disciples had this in their heads. We have this in our heads that somehow we got to earn it. We got to do something, you know, to be worthy of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying, no. There's nothing you can do to earn this. There's no good work that you can do. There's no amount of checklists that are out there. The Pharisees really struggled with this. I mean, they really felt like there was this big checklist that if you did all these things, then you get into the kingdom. Then you're part of that. And Jesus is saying, no. You see these kids? They can do nothing. They can even, most of them can't even say anything. Children of God, all of you are at that same level. And it's what Jesus is saying. And Paul, in his writings, will pick this up so beautifully. He'll just say, it's by grace you have been saved. It is by grace. It's through faith, a simple trust. It says, when Jesus says, come, we come. Not because we deserve it, but because he called us. I want to shift gears to 1 John 3. And it's such a beautiful passage. In fact, I'm really only going to spend time on the first verse because it's just astonishing. John, you got to picture John is an old man when he's writing this. Old man. It's some of the last of the New Testament that's written. Gospel of John is the last gospel written. The first, second, and third John are the last. And so he is an old man in his, I keep saying old. Oh, that gets me in trouble because I'm going to say 80s, okay? So, sorry. old. No. My apologies. But this is not a guy in his 30s or 40s writing this, I guess is what I'm trying to say. See if I can recover from this, right? But he's writing, and he's encouraging, he's teaching in 1 John. You know, when we say, I'm in bondage to sin and cannot free myself, that's his teaching out of 1 John. When we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, that's in 1 John. Right, he's teaching, he's encouraging, but he's gone through all of this in those first two chapters of John, and then he gets to chapter 3, this part, and he says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Now, that's the NIV translation, and in their attempt to catch the power of it, basically, what they did is add the exclamation points. All right? Doesn't really capture it. Because what I'd like to do is, I want to go to the King James for a moment. Okay? So let's go to the King James version of this. And the very first part of this, John says, behold. It's not just see. It's behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. And I want to spend a moment on the word behold. Behold really is about kind of a wow factor. Wow. And it's. I want you to picture. one of the most beautiful places you've ever been. And it could be a Grand Canyon. It could be some other place that you've been, and or some situation that you were in. Okay? You know, I'd like to think, you know, if you were married and your bride was coming down the aisle, your thought was, maybe you weren't thinking this word, but you were like, behold, there she is. Okay? There she is. But think of those other scenes, those other situations where it's, behold. I think of when our daughter was born. First, Dr. Ramsey delivered her over at the hospital here. And I remember when I first saw her, I would not describe it as I saw her. It was a behold. I mean, it was a seeing, but there was a sense of awe and wonder in there. You see what I'm saying? Words can hardly describe what's going on here. And Timothy Keller's listening to a sermon by him on this text, and he talked about, said, you know, it's sort of the difference. Let's say that you get a paycheck, and you get your paycheck for the job that you just did, right? And you open it up, and you're working hourly, right? And you get that paycheck, and most of us don't, when we got the paycheck, don't open up the paycheck and say, behold, wow, what a surprise. No, you're thinking, I'm seeing this, and okay, and what are you doing? You're doing the math. Wow, they took a lot of taxes out of there. They did all this, and okay, well, here it is, and yeah, the hours are right, and the wage was right, and I see my check, and there it goes to the bank or whatever. It's not a behold. And one of the things John, I believe that one of the reasons John uses the word behold here, and I wish that they wouldn't have translated it as see in the NIV. It is because John is actually expressing to us that when it says what great love the Father has lavished on us, or what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, John is not saying, see what we got? Like we deserved it, like somehow we earned this, like we like a paycheck. No, John is saying to all of his readers and to us, behold what manner of love. Behold it. Let yourself be filled with wonder and awe with what he has given you in Jesus Christ. You know, and when the NIV says, what manner of love, okay, it's really like from what place, you know, that Jesus died for you. He bled on the cross for you. He was resurrected from the dead for you, out of love for you. Behold, he's beckoning you, has beckoned you and said, come, little child. Come, you haven't earned it. You know, we're not to go, oh, good, he's calling me, I'm going because I've earned it. No, he says, behold, this love. Come running. Do you think those kids just like, well, okay. No, I mean, what do kids do when they're excited about something? They're running. They might even run you over. You're holding their hand, off they go. That's what John's trying to get across. He's saying, oh, behold, that kind of wonder of what God has done. Let's go back to the NIV. Don't you back to the NIV. So see what great love the Father has lavished on us. And think of that word lavished for a moment. Is that like a really neutral word, or is that just, wow, it's a feast. It is over the top gift. He that love is way more than we could ever have imagined, and certainly more than we ever deserved. And notice this. All of this comes. That love is bestowed. It's given that we might be called what? Children of God. Be made part of his family. And then he makes this great statement. And I do like the exclamation point on that last one. Children of God, that is what we are. It's what we are. His children. Again, and we close with this. Not because of anything you've done, but because of what he's done. And his call to you to come as a child and receive his gift. May we pray for this. Gracious Lord God, we thank you that you have called us your children. You have made yourself known. Fill us with that awe and wonder of Christ's call to us, of Christ coming in the flesh in Bethlehem all those years ago, and Christ's return again